When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Way Day starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your cart.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This on? Hello?
We're all science people.
Science!
Exactly.
We know it's a good idea because it's lasted.
We can teach kids and they get it.
There's chemistry in here. There's biology in here.
It's in whiskey. It's in ice cream. It's in who you fall in love with. That's the recipe for success.
We can make the world better for everybody.
Starting now.
Welcome to Science Rules. I'm your host, Bill Nye. This is the show where science rules. Now, it's a call-in show. If you want to be on the show, and I hope you do, the number to dial is 470-ASK-BILL. That's me, 470-ASK-BILL. Keep up with me on the electric internet to find out when to call. And as always, you can also send us your questions and comments at askbillnye.com. And I am joined, of course, once again, by science writer, editor, my dear friend, Corey S. Powell. Hello, Corey.
Oh, Bill, how are you? It's great to be here. Today, I'm looking for an expert.
Well, Corey, you know, we have experts on every show. I mean, keep that in mind. But as I always say, everybody you'll ever meet knows something you don't. But today it's a little different because we have an expert on expertise right here. And that expert is writer, comedian, actor, former cheesemonger, self-proclaimed judge. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you John Hodgman.
Hello, it's me. Oh, please, no. No, this is a standing ovation. It's my pleasure to be here. Are you? Look, I'm sitting in a room. Everyone should know this. I'm sitting in a room with Bill Nye, the science guy, hero to all.
Not to all.
Hero to many.
Hero to
very
most.
Many.
Some. Hero to most. And also Corey, who is the husband of my family physician in Park Slope.
Oh.
So anyway, John.
Yes.
You are an expert on so many things.
I am an expert on expertise, and I'm an accidental expert on expertise.
Now, how does one pursue this pursuit?
Like most things, you fake it until you make it and then break it. I started out my comedy writing career, writing books of fake knowledge, complete world knowledge that were compiled in almanacs that I wrote that had complete lies in them, but presented with a deadpan straight face as best you could in a book.
Deadpan writing.
Yes, exactly. So in my very first book, the areas of my expertise, I wrote, for example, instead of a common trivia book rubric of the 9 U.S. presidents who were addicted to cigars or whatever, I wrote about the 9 U.S. presidents who secretly had hooks for hands. And I wrote a story
like
for each
captain,
one of them.
The captain and the...
Yeah, like a pirate. It was a secret history of like, oh yeah, you know how we all forgot that like 9 U.S. presidents actually had hooks for hands? Like, we don't talk about it.
No one
talked about Franklin Roosevelt having a hook for a hand because it wasn't considered, the press protected him at that time.
Those were a different era. Yeah.
Okay, when I read those books of yours,
yeah,
I'm struck that you need some real expertise to come up with fake expertise. The joke
sure.
doesn't work unless there's already a foundation. How much real expertise do you need before you can fake it?
Well, look, I was born and continue to be a strange only child. That is to say, a member of the super smart, afraid of conflict narcissist club. I had a strange childhood where I would run home to listen to Fresh Air on public radio.
Wow, that's exciting.
And read books of trivia and just absorb, you know, absorb as much junk trivia as I could. That was my
addiction. Well, my claim about
addiction,
trivia,
and it still is. I'll read Wikipedia all night long because I just find it fascinating. Weird stuff.
So I claim, and see if you, in fact, you could be a judge of this claim.
That's true. That's part of my remit.
I'm hopeful that you'll be a judge of this claim, that the more trivia you know, the more you know. That, in other words, in order to keep track of many small, seemingly small facts, you have to have a framework. You have to have a tree on which to hang the ornaments.
Yeah. I think that that's true. I think that trivia creates – trivial facts create an outline of the universe or as you say, like if you have just all the shiny ornaments, you see the shape of a tree.
There you go.
And that you said it better than I did, and I just restated it, and now I'm the expert in saying that. For people who don't know who I am, and there are some
weird,
the weirds know who I am. The normals may not. So my name is John Hodgman. I wrote a series of book of fake facts that put me onto The Daily Show with Jon Stewart for almost a decade, where I portrayed their resident expert, their resident authority on all world knowledge, regardless of what topic they were discussing. They could bring – I was the resident white guy in a tweedy jacket who could pontificate and mansplain before we had that term on why economics is called the dismal science, which is – it's known as the dismal science, and it's not named for nothing. It's named for Sir Eustace Dismal, who was the British economist who was the first one to propose making smokestacks out of children during the Industrial Revolution. But they realized it wouldn't work because if you made the smokestacks out of children, who would you get to clean them?
So you need
this
mice.
This is so much better than what I told my daughters that Samuel T. Lampshade invented the lampshade.
Oh, sure. It's a classic joke.
It's pretty good.
But as you say, like for that joke to work – and it arguably did on The Daily Show when I made it – you have to know a little bit about the dark history of the Industrial Revolution, or at least seen a production of Oliver Twist or something, like mm-hmm. that they used children to clean out smokestacks. And that was a dark time.
It was a sooty dark time.
It was a sooty city.
So as we digress, you and I met.
Yes.
At a wedding.
That's right. And I wasn't sure whether you were going to bring this up, Bill.
Why? I have.
Yeah, and here it is.
Was
too
it
late
bad?
Now.
I mean, we didn't get married at the wedding.
No, we did not get married at the wedding.
It was our mutual friend.
Yeah, we met at our own arranged wedding. We're older men who wear glasses. This is how the Illuminati propagates itself. It's like, let's put Nye and Hodgman together.
So
Martin Garrow's getting married. You and I are sitting at the table after the morning after brunch.
Yeah. It was lovely.
This is a story. I casually asked the table, as I do, is anyone here really into waffles or cast iron pans or both? Because I had been wandering around this town and I wandered into a sort of a junky antique shop and saw a Griswold brand cast iron waffle.
A Griswold
iron.
Brand.
And I collect cast iron, vintage cast iron pans.
Look at you. Of course you do.
That's right.
So with that said.
So I said, someone should buy this because I'm not going to buy it. And Bill Nye says, you should buy it. You like this stuff. And I said, you know, Bill, thank you. But I don't eat waffles. I don't like sweets. This would be a headache to get home. And I really would love to share it with someone else. And Bill Nye then said, no, you should buy it. It would make you happy. And I'm like, Bill Nye, are you telling me you know my own mind better than me? And Bill Nye was like, yeah, totally. And I got totally bullied by Bill Nye at brunch.
But did you go back and get the dog?
Of course not. I wasn't going to bend.
Yes.
I wasn't going to bend to your will.
This pressure.
You know what I should have done? I should have bought it and sent it to your house.
That would have shown me.
What the story is telling me is that we have a judge and we have Bill Nye, the life advice giver.
Yeah.
We have some callers on the line. I think we need to give some callers some advice.
And Corey, you mentioned an important thing. I'm not on The Daily Show anymore. I'm mostly known now for my podcast, the Judge John Hodgman podcast on Maximum Fun, where I hear disputes and give advice. Mm-hmm. And my new book coming out that I have to plug. You'll always be plugging.
Very happy to plug your
Hashtag
book.
Always be plugging. Medallion Status is my new book of stories of my losing fame and becoming a withered creature and cast iron aficionado, which is what I am today.
I want to take calls, like anybody
else. Yeah, let's
go.
Let's do the calls. We could have started taking calls an hour ago.
But I just wanted to talk
about
it.
What a delight to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
No, it's so nice.
Thank you for being here.
Do we have Kevin? Kevin, are you out there?
Yes.
Kevin, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Hampton, Virginia.
Is Hampton, Virginia associated with Hampton Roads?
I don't know. What
Norfolk?
Is Hampton Roads?
Is it associated with near Norfolk, Virginia?
Yes, it's near Norfolk.
Yeah. And so you Norfolk, do you have flooding problems this time of year?
So far it's good. The weather is actually beautiful right now. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice time to go for a walk.
So if it's a beautiful day for going for a walk, I think your question is going to tie right in. What is your question?
So it's actually slightly different. My question is, I'm looking for advice for how to propose to my girlfriend.
Well, do it on a beautiful day.
Do it on a podcast right now.
Yes.
Where is she?
The great part is you don't know exactly when the podcast is going to air, so it'll be a surprise to both of you.
Yeah.
But John, do you have advice for him, for Kevin?
Well, first of all, congratulations on taking this big step in your life. Less congratulations for consulting strangers on a podcast before actually breaking the news to your, I hope, fiance. I hope she says yes. Is it a woman that we're talking about who is your beloved?
Yes.
Okay. And it seems like you have maybe some A, B options in your mind to consider. Like,
yeah.
What are you thinking on?
My main conundrum is I don't know whether to do a more like traditional surprise proposal or to do something a bit more like mutual, where it's like I don't really surprise her, but we kind of do it together, if that makes sense.
Like if you go to a proposal booth, she would see that coming.
Convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, does
That's
she
exactly
see it?
Exactly what I need.
Right. Does she see it coming? How long have you been dating?
We've been dating for a couple years, and we've talked about it. So we've agreed in principle. I would say we're pre-engaged.
Have you picked out rings? Have you mulled rings?
We have. We have done.
Oh,
it
well.
Kind of sounds like
information about the ring.
So I think you need to add an element of surprise at this point.
Yeah,
that's my feeling.
Yeah, yeah, I think it would be cool.
Since you I presume you have a prenup already established, right?
Yeah. Do you have children? Yeah, right. Have you already
share a
house?
Home? Yeah, exactly.
Well, seriously, do you have kids together?
I don't. I don't. Right now, I really have very little of valuable substance.
So
right
here's
now.
What I John.
You're selling yourself short. I think you've got something very
valuable.
No,
Kevin, this is going to be great. So, John, I'm asking you to evaluate my proposal as a judge, my suggestion, rather, regarding a proposal. And, Kevin, you can then evaluate both sides of this if you choose. So, suggest to your soon-to-be fiancé that you're going to go out to dinner. Do you guys go out to dinner regularly? Is there a regular place you go?
Yes. Yes.
What is it? Come on, plug him.
So she lives in New York.
Oh.
Yeah, she lives in New York. And we like to go to this place called Prince Street Pizza. Very casual, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
So here's my suggestion. Let's go, hey, honey, or my dear, or my esteemed colleague.
Darling.
Let's go have pizza and then stumble. Stumble in a comedic, I don't want to invoke Jerry Lewis, but that sort of thing where you're blocking her path. and you're on your knee.
Uh-huh.
See where I'm going here?
Yeah. The accidental knee drop?
Yes. Uh-huh. And then, hey, sweetie, would you marry me kind of thing. And then you're excited to go for pizza.
That's definitely better than, like, putting the ring on the pizza.
Yeah, the ring on the pizza doesn't look right. Yeah. She bites into it.
Yeah.
There are too many ways that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Your name is Kevin, is that correct?
Kevin.
Kevin, yeah. All right.
Kevin from Hampton.
Kevin, so you guys don't live in the same city. Are you going to relocate to New York?
I am planning to move to New York, yes, in the next month and a half.
Oh, okay. Why don't you just secretly move in one day when she's at work?
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Oh, this shaving kit? The high rent.
Well, that's great. I'm happy that you're taking this step. I think that you should you have the ring already, because that's usually the element of surprise. Is you pop that ring out.
Do you have the ring?
Do you have an engagement ring?
I'm in the process. I'm in the process of getting it. I'll have it soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bill's advice is very good. I would suggest that maybe you, Bill is nodding along. He agrees that his advice is very good. I would suggest that maybe you go easy on the Jerry Lewis pratfalls because you might hurt yourself. If Prince Street Pizza is someplace that is special to you, then you should go there. And I think, but if it, you know, whatever, go to a nice place that's special to you and just say, hey, you know what? We've been talking about it a lot and I'm really ready to take this step. Will you be my, my life partner? Here's a piece of jewelry I bought, and it'll be terrific.
Well, here's an important piece of information.
I'd avoid the phrase "piece of jewelry."
Sorry, here's a circular symbol of my undying love.
Oh wait, here's an important piece of information. Is your beloved? Is she fond of surprise? Is this a person who likes things regimented, or is this a person who would appreciate a spontaneous gesture?
This is where I'm not sure, to be honest. I think she would appreciate it, but at the same time, I don't know if she knows, to be honest with you.
You don't know that she, but you guys have discussed marriage in the past, right?
You talked about an engagement ring, for crying out loud.
You said you're pre-engaged. So this is the thing where you're putting her up on a jumbotron in Madison Square Garden and getting down on one knee in front of everyone who's assembled to see the Rangers or whatever. You're not putting her in a position where she could be humiliated or embarrassed in any way. I and Bill, and I dare say Corey as well, are suggesting that you just find him. At some point, one of you has to say to the other, let's do it. I mean, let's actually get married. Let's stop talking about it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to initiate it, then just go to a special thing and just say, this is it. I think we should do it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But the other option... will you tell me the name of your future fiance?
Her name is Lisa.
Lisa. Yeah. Okay.
That's a great name.
Then the other option is just play her this. Hey, Lisa, it's me, John Hodgman. Kevin wants to marry you. Yes or no? Here's a ring. Now you put that on your phone.
You got the sound clip.
Yeah. You put that on your phone and you play it for her at the pizza place.
Oh, wow. Actually, can I try that? I think she's there.
Where? At the pizza place right now?
She's waiting for you?
No, with you all.
What? She's here?
Oh, my God.
Wait. What?
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 Oh, my God.
What?
What is happening?
Co-producer Lisa Wang.
Wait a second. We have a producer in the next studio named Lisa, who lives in New York City.
Lisa... Can Lisa get in here?
I think we need to bring Lisa in here.
Is she embarrassed?
She's amazed.
She is looking kind of shocked. I have to say, I'm kind of shocked. I had no idea this was coming. I myself am kind of caught off guard.
I feel...
Lisa! Oh, you got to her. Look at that.
Wow. Hi, I'm John. I've never met you before.
Hey, nice to meet you.
I want you to know that my advice to Kevin was... privately go have dinner at a special place.
But, you know,
I didn't realize that I was being conned and sandbagged into essentially a jumbotron proposal from Kevin.
Okay, Kevin, I will tell you, she looks shocked, but she does look happy. She does not look... She's not shaking her head.
That mic isn't on, Lisa. You have to share with me.
I'm extremely confused by this.
Have you met Kevin before? Kevin?
Yeah, is this somebody you know?
Hey, Kev.
Wait, is that a good reaction?
Yeah,
we can edit it out.
Oh my God,
she's tearing up, Kev. Way to go, man! We all had fun.
They're mainly tears of shock, but
hey, Lisa, will you marry me?
Oh my God, Okay, yes, sure. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to step out as I am extremely confused by you.
No, you're not. You're delighted.
I don't really
think there's anything confusing about this. I think this is actually pretty straightforward.
I think you're a crazy mofo, but yes. Yes, the answer is yes.
Wow, cool. Wow.
Kevin, congratulations.
Jordan, were you in on this?
Thank you.
Young woman.
That was amazing.
Lisa, I just want you to know.
She's looking very happy and very confused since you can't be here to see it.
I wish you both the best.
Yeah. Wait a second, John. As a
and
judge.
I will not marry you.
No, I was about to ask if you could marry them right here on the podcast because that would be awesome.
I am ordained, but I don't do it as a rule. But thank you, Lisa. Best of luck to you.
Congratulations.
Oh, Kevin, that was wow. Well
that
played.
That was
well played.
You played everybody here. That's a high level. If I had a hat, I would take it off to you.
Yeah, I try to be unpredictable.
This is an extraordinary moment.
But I am charmed and by the note. Let's wrap with Kevin and get on to the next caller.
Yeah.
And then he proposes to his girlfriend while we're here. Kevin, all right, Kevin, thank you.
Maybe
man.
This is going to be an all proposal show. I don't know where we're headed.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen again.
You know what? I work for a different podcast network, so I can't steal that. But yeah, that's yours, Corey. You could do an all proposal call-in show, and it would just be the most popular thing on earth. That's big money, right?
All right,
there.
I think we need another caller.
Yes,
then. Maybe somebody with a pet.
Stick around for more science rules after this.
Hey, this is Jeff Lewis from Radio Andy. Live and uncensored, catch me talking with my friends about my latest obsessions, relationship issues, and bodily ailments. With that kind of drama that seems to follow me, you never know what's going to happen.
You can listen to Jeff Lewis live at home or anywhere you are. Download the SiriusXM app for over 425 channels of ad-free music, sports, entertainment, and more. Subscribe now and get 3 months free. Offer details apply.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar cards, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Way Day starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your cart.
Style every home.
Science Rules is back.
Laurel.
Laurel, you're out there.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
Hi.
Wherever you're calling from, it sounds very happy.
I'm in Miss Cam's class in Roanoke, Virginia, in her science class.
You're
in a science class right now?
Right now?
Yes.
Would you like Bill to say hello to your whole science class?
Yes.
Greetings, Roanokeans. Science rules. So you called for a purpose. You're seeking some advice, which we, as you know, have a limitless supply thereof.
Yes.
Laurel, what's your question?
I was wondering if you could help me and my friend decide a science fair project.
So, see,
of course he can.
So, what is your area of
interest?
What are you studying?
Academic, yes. What's the purview here?
What grade are you in?
I'm in 10th grade.
Awesome.
10th grade was a good one for me. So, in 10th grade, are you doing physics yet, or are you doing chemistry?
I'm doing chemistry.
All right. You've boiled red cabbage to make a universal indicator?
No, we've not done that.
So what everybody...
That's already number one with a bullet. I don't even know what they're talking about. Yeah. Fantastic.
So then we recommend that, and we recommend the analysis that you're going to present having to do with the donation or acceptance of protons. That's what we're hoping for there.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
And acids and bases. And so if you leave Roanoke someday and go to college in Berkeley, California, you can take chemistry classes in Lewis Hall, after whom Lewis acids and bases are named. It's like, it's a real deal. Just saying. So the acids and bases would be an inorganic kind of thing you could do. But if you want to go organic, you can make the models of alkenes, alkanes, and alkynes. But if you do that, I hope you'll tie them to climate change.
Yeah, that was definitely... be interesting.
Yeah, a science fair project that has, it sort of speaks to global problems.
So you guys, in 10th grade,
plus.
Are you 15 when you're in 10th grade? Are you 16?
Older.
15.
Oh, yeah. I was wrong.
I was 15 for a while.
I have high school age children. I should know this too.
Well, you have people to keep track of that.
That's
but,
right.
So,
yeah, that's your agent's problem.
So you
yours.
Are going to come of age where it's going to become clear that we have to find ways to take carbon dioxide out of the air. And that, in general, can be done with if we have unlimited electricity.
That made my people very excited.
So if you're asking for a project, I do something that has to do with carbon dioxide. And maybe consider carbonic acid, the reason the ocean is getting more acidic, and present data that are documented about how many tons of carbon dioxide the ocean soaks up every year, for example. And
yeah,
I would find a way to measure the carbon dioxide concentration in Roanoke. Go for it.
That would be really interesting.
Could be. I hope it's interesting. It's science.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's an A+.
So
also, can you add on to it, though? Baking soda volcano?
Oh.
Just throw one in there?
Yeah. So which involves carbon dioxide.
That's right.
So what we want, okay, people make fun of the baking soda volcano.
I'm not making fun of anything.
No, but people do. They're out there. Not you, John. People out there.
It's classic.
Bad judges of judgment. That's what they do. But the one thing I want people to remember is when you make a carbon dioxide, the vinegar and baking soda volcano, the gas that's produced is exactly the same gas as comes out of real volcanoes. We do not get hydrogen sulfide from baking soda vinegar, but you do get carbon dioxide. So I'm listening to your laughter and gigglement.
Yeah. Great word.
I believe it's engigglement.
Engigglement.
Yeah.
Yes, you're engigglement. It sounds like you're responding favorably to carbon dioxide, as much as you, of course, would love acid-base universal indicator. So carry on, Laurel.
Thank you.
And what's your teacher's name again?
My teacher's name is Miss Can.
Miss Can.
Yeah.
Miss Can, you're doing great work. You're getting kids passionate about chemistry. You know, magicians say it's all done with mirrors, but you know what we say in chemistry?
What do we say, Bill?
It's all done with molecules.
Ah.
So carry on, Laurel.
But Miss Can, this is John Hodgman. Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
Laurel has a phone in class. You should probably confiscate it.
I know. Normally they're not allowed to have them, but today we made an exception.
I think this is a very good reason for an exception.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to narc on Laurel, but it's pretty clear she's got a phone.
Carry on, you crazy kids.
That's great.
Keep up the good work, Miss Can. Seriously, 10th grade is a very important year, and make sure that people learn to do algebra when they're doing chemistry. Algebra is the single most reliable indicator of whether or not a person pursues a career in a technical field. And it's hard for everybody. You got to balance your equations. You just got to, it's just practice, practice, practice. Carry on, Miss Can.
All right, who are we talking
Malcolm,
to now?
Malcolm, you're out there.
I'm out here.
Where are you calling from?
Blue Hill, Maine.
Blue Hill, Maine,
all
Malcolm.
Right.
I know that town very well.
And why is that?
Indeed.
Well, I live part of the year in an unnamed coastal town on the Blue Hill Peninsula in Maine. That was the subject of my most recent book, Vacation Land, that came out a couple of years ago, and the precursor to this new book, Medallion Status, which also talks a little bit about Maine, but not as much.
So, Malcolm, as a Blue Hillian, are you an ocean person or a lake person? I think if it's a peninsula.
Ocean person. I'm actually a resident of that same unnamed town. I'm at my grandmother's poaching her Wi-Fi right now.
Oh, okay, cool. So are you in the library or at your grandma's house? I misunderstood.
Oh, I'm at my grandmother's.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
in Blue Hill.
Listeners rather need to know that. So you have a question, Malcolm.
Yeah, it's a family debate we have. Been working on the water my whole life, and does the tide affect the wind? Because I think it does, because it seems when the tide switches, which you know what time it does, because it forecasts it every day, that the wind changes at that moment more or less. And I have an aunt who's she's a biologist and sort of my go-to science person, and she maintains that I am a Looney Tune. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you may be you're falling into the classic
correlation and causation.
That's what I'm talking about,
yes.
Corey Powell. Correlation, meaning things happen at the same time, doesn't mean that one causes the other. So I am open-minded, of course, but I believe just the expression tides, the tide, implies the motion of the ocean without respect to the weather.
Correct.
This is induced by the moon and the sun. The sun's about almost exactly half the influence of the moon at its distance. So what? How long have you entertained this hypothesis, Malcolm?
Oh, probably about 10 years going around.
So the key thing
the reach
in science,
and sort of the ocean around here, it seems like the wind, once the tide switches, the wind will either pick up or sort of abate.
It's interesting. What do you do on the water, Malcolm?
Tugboat stuff.
Oh, fantastic. I've heard there's a lot of lore
in Maine.
There's a lot of lore in Maine and a lot of lore of the ocean.
Yes.
The person who works on the water develops a very intuitive but folkloric observational knowledge. Yeah. What I'm saying is, Malcolm, Bill Nye has called you a Looney Tune. He's shut down your theory
not,
of 10 years.
I did
years.
Not go with Looney Tune.
He thinks it is unsupported by data. You heard it from himself.
He was going to get to the data question. We'll circle back to that.
I bet you that if you asked around to people who aren't your mother, who obviously doesn't want you to succeed and wants to shut you down at all times.
Well,
but
if you ask other men and women
who worked on the water, there would be all kinds of observations. I've heard that before from people who work on the water, that it gets windy when the tide changes. I've heard that before. And I'm not saying that it's not data. It's anecdote. But I understand why you came to that conclusion. But as you know, Bill Nye and your mother are correct, and you're wrong.
Well, John, you just got right to the crux of the issue, which is collecting data. That, if you have this hunch, you have this intuitive feeling that this must be true, you just start a logbook. You probably keep a logbook with you anyway, keeping track of other things. You actually log, when the wind changes, when the tide changes. And Bill, here's one question. Do sea surface temperatures change with the tides? Could that have any effect?
Sea surface temperatures must change with the tides, or rather, I would hypothesize that they often do because of layers of water exchanging.
So could that be having an effect on the winds?
Especially in peninsulical areas. So, they could have an effect on the wind. So, Malcolm.
Wow, Corey jumped in there with the
Since you got
correlation is not causation, but correlation just might change the day.
Anyone?
It's awesome.
So, Malcolm, try keeping track. And the key, I think, really here is time. So you have to keep track of the clock time with some precision. Because if you're off a half hour this way, 45 minutes that way, you're gonna have a blurry thing. When we say the slack between high and low, low and high.
Yep.
You can just lose track during the slack of what's supposed to happen. So if you don't mind doing all that and calling us back someday, that would be very welcome, Malcolm.
I'll start keeping notes in my fish book.
Ask Eric Blake what he thinks about this, too, because he's often got a good theory.
Eric Blake's a Blue Hillian?
But no, he lives in the same unnamed coastal town near Blue Hill. Mm-hmm. But I would say this. Keep your own logbook for sure. But, of course, NOAA, the National Oceanographic AA, or I can't remember what the rest
Oceanic
of it is.
Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
I'm sure they have all of this data granular down going back years. So you could look there, too, don't you think? They certainly have the tide data.
The tide data you can get.
Yeah.
But it's the wind is the question. So you'd have to shut off the engines, come to a still,
dead calm.
Heave to, dead calm. Then measure the wind. Yeah.
Great.
So have at it, Malcolm. Thanks for your call, man.
I'm jealous of you that you're there and I'm not.
Thank you, Malcolm. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you.
Malcolm, I'll see you around town.
Get back to you guys.
Okay. Good luck with your data collection.
Science Rules will be right back.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Way Day starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your car.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to Science Rules.
Amy Amy, are you out there?
Hi. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes. Hello, Amy.
Where are you calling from?
I'm from Chicago.
Chicago.
Fantastic.
It's a toddle in town. So do you have a question?
I do. So it's more of a question of advice. So I'm currently in business school, and I'm thinking about what I want to do after school. And a question that me and my classmates often wrestle with is, do you think that it's possible to have an impactful career but also have a good life at home? Or do you have to sacrifice having a good personal life in order to have an impactful career?
Oh, no,
I just ask because I know that you guys have both had storied careers.
They're completely incompatible.
No. Yeah, and the way you can tell is Bill's has a little, there's a tear rolling down his cheek now because
all
of
the time. Yeah. No, hold it. Amy, you're in the throes of business school.
Yeah.
And I suspect from time to time it sucks, where you are working problems that seem completely irrelevant to one's everyday life. Furthermore, the expectations of your professors and the pressure to compete with your classmates makes the whole grad school thing kind of a drag.
Yeah.
Is that a true fact or a false fact?
No, it's true.
So there's a whole world out there. And what I advise graduates of any discipline from any college within a university or elsewhere is just get started. When you get out of school, just get started. Just start doing something. And your personal life will emerge. It might be volleyball, co-ed volleyball. It might be cast iron seasoning. But your personal life...
might be co-ed cast iron seasoning.
Co-ed cast iron seasoning. Wow. That is some hot stuff. So, Amy, I understand. My sense is you have anxiety. But how many more months of grad school do you have to complete?
So, I graduate in June.
There you go.
So, I've got time. Definitely
now,
got time.
May I ask a couple of quick follow-up questions, Bill?
Oh, please. Yeah. Please. You're the expert guest of expertise.
So, Amy... you're in business school. What? Just that I understand your terms, because I did not go to business school because that seemed like work. Business seemed like a lot of work. I instead, when I got out of college, I went into book publishing, which is a business that doesn't have any business calling itself a business, because I knew I knew I could take Friday afternoons off. You know, all of book publishing shuts down on Friday afternoons.
And you knew you'd never have to worry about being rich.
No, it was never going to be an issue.
Right.
But I did know that I was working within a world that had meaning to me and impacted the world in a way I wanted to, which was spreading good ideas, and happy distraction, in the form of entertainment. So what is having an impactful career mean to you as a business school student and presumably someone who's going to become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, no, that's like $1 million question, right? I mean, I think I could see myself working for a nonprofit sort of like directly working to help people, but I think also it could be interesting to work for like a food company, right? Because you're helping give food to people who need it and like providing nutrition to people. So like that's kind of like the two paths that I'm looking at. I'm just not really sure. Like I feel like there's definitely this sort of like, well, if you're not working for a huge bank or like a giant company, then like that's not good enough.
What kind of impact do you want to have a positive impact upon the world in some way? Is that the thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Within my career, but also I feel like sometimes people feel like if they want to have impact, then they've got to work these like 90-hour jobs, right? Which
I think that's definitely the culture of business school more than it is, say, book publishing.
Fundamentally, Amy, why did you choose business school over book publishing?
You know, I don't know anything about the book publishing world, but now that I'm hearing about it, I hear that you get Fridays off. I just feel like I've made a giant mistake.
Right, but seriously, why did you go to business school? What was it that drew you there?
For me, so I was an accountant before business school, and I think I just wanted to change. Like, I just didn't want to be an accountant anymore, and I wanted to learn other aspects of business, like be the decision maker, right? I feel like accountants kind of like look at what's already happened and then you report on it, but I just wanted to be like a change catalyst.
All right.
There we go. That's,
here you go.
That's big.
All right, Amy, I got an idea for you. We are living, you're going to be graduating or being graduated from business school at this extraordinary time in human history where we're going to have 8 and 9 billion people. And the one noun I heard go by was food. So there's going to be a revolution in food production. how crops are created, are modified or bred to feed more people, how water is managed, how food is distributed, and this whole revolution having to do something to do with the production and consumption of meat. And so all of these, every aspect of food production for feeding these billions of people who are coming along is business. I think you were in the right place in the right time in the course of human history.
That's true. If you could make innovations in any of those fields, that would be profoundly impactful on people's
and
lives.
It's all business. All got to be financed.
And I'll tell you one thing that is a general rule of thumb. I think that's incredible specific advice that Bill Nye just gave you.
Thank you.
But I will also say that when you are doing the thing that you love, that inspires you, that makes you feel like you have a life of meaning, your personal life never suffers. The sacrifices that you make for that mission do not feel like sacrifices. And the people that you surround yourself with who also appreciate your mission will be with you all the way. So really the hardest thing in life is tuning into what it is that you love, what it is you care about. And if food is of interest to you personally, I absolutely agree with Bill that there are many, many angles on which you could be doing a lot of good in this world using your skills and your business school degree. So,
right, because you have a fairly high level of expertise. When you walk out, you're going to have something that a lot of other people don't have. So when you put that to work, put it to work in a way that means something to you, because a lot of other people don't have that opportunity.
And, you know, Bill also gave some very good advice earlier, which is just jump in there, get a job, take a job, start a company, start a thing, get in there. You don't know where your path is going to lead, so worrying too much about it ahead of time is counterproductive.
And then my experience is, now I didn't go to business school, I went to engineering school, but once you're out there, nobody asks you, hey, Bill, what did you get? What grade did you get in heat transfer 3 years ago? Nobody asks you that.
Well, I'm curious. Why won't you tell me?
I did okay. I got it.
I want to see the long form of your transcript.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I'm saying is it sounds like people in your business school are competitive. And we all, I think, have a tendency to fret over grades or grade point average and all that stuff. Don't fret too much. Just get her done. Get her done.
Yeah, get out of there. Get out in the world.
All right, Amy, thank you for your call. Just
good luck,
go get
Amy.
Them and keep us posted when you're taking over the world.
Thank you.
Get out there and tune in to what makes you happy and what doesn't make you happy. Don't talk yourself into happiness. You know it when you feel it.
Amy from Chicago.com. It's huge.
All right. Oh, wait, Amy. I'm going to be at the Chicago Humanities Festival November the 3rd, presenting my new book, Medallion Status.
Okay. Don't miss it if you can.
Yeah, that'd be a great moment to find inspiration.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, take care.
All right, thank you for calling.
Anyone who wants to see me on tour for Medallion Status can go to johnhodgman.com/tour. There,
your
I said
homepage.
It. That's right.
Bill, it's time for the lightning round.
Yes, with Dr. John Hodgman. John.
Yes.
What's your favorite piece of trivia?
Well, I just learned. It's like choosing between my children. But I did just learn that Pope Innocent VIII gave special permission to the Prince Regent of Saxony to add butter to their Christmas stolen bread after it was illegal for many, many years.
Why was it illegal for so many years?
I believe it was a religious reason. I believe it was too rich.
It was sacrifice.
Right.
Flagellate.
Yeah,
ourselves.
Exactly.
Yes.
This is in the 15th century.
It was a while ago.
And that letter giving the Prince of Saxony the right to put butter in the stolen bread was called the butter brief.
The butter bread.
That's
bought
great
it at auction at some amazing document.
Essentially, it was an indulgence. The Duke, the Prince Regent of Saxony wanted to put butter in, so he paid off the Pope to get the indulgence. Yeah, right.
So, John, are you Mac or PC?
I am Mac all the way.
Now, why do you say that?
Well, there was a brief period of time. Of course, you're referencing the series of commercials that I made 1,000 years ago.
Very good.
In which I played the PC to Justin Long's The Mac. Wonderful guy. Great job. Miss it every day. Guess what, Apple? I'm in wardrobe. Call me up. I'm ready to come back. Put me in, team.
Your favorite airport lounge?
Oh, that would be the Delta Sky Club in, I got to say, at JFK right now.
Why? What takes
it, had
it
been,
up?
It had been LAX, but they moved terminals, and they're building a new terminal, and the makeshift lounge they have at LAX right now is pretty crummy.
The humanity.
You can read all about the Sky Club in my new book, Medallion Status, bit.ly/medallion status by John Hodgman.
As a judge, what is the hardest case you've ever judged?
Is a hot dog a sandwich.
How do you feel about the mustache, facial hair?
The one that I have?
Yeah.
I like it. I wouldn't wear it if I didn't have it.
Well, what do you think it does for you?
The mustache, I think, alone makes me look like what do you call it? A silent movie villain.
Yes. A villain.
Yeah.
A villain.
Yeah. And I wanted to get away from the round, pasty, baby-faced man that I was.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted
you sort of imagine yourself kind of tying the damsel to
also,
the tracks.
I had turned, yes, that's and all of my roles, as I talk about in Medallion Status, my new book, I am some kind of mustache creep, some kind of evil guy, some kind of jerk, some kind of two-timer, and I always get killed or written off the show. I just wanted to grow a mustache for the same reason all weird dads grow their mustaches when they're in their 40s. It's a signal to the outside world that my evolutionary purpose is done.
How does the wife feel about the mustache?
She's come around, but it took a long time. Mm-hmm. Today is our 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
As we're recording this.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And do you know how I proposed to her?
Not yet.
No, I did propose to her 20 years ago. And you know how?
Presumably not on a podcast.
No, I tricked her on a podcast.
Okay.
Tricked her.
Was it a pizza? Go for it.
No, that was my joke. We had been together for 10 years at that time. And I was like, this has got to happen. I love her. And so I don't even think I had a ring at that point. I just said, will you marry me? That's how you do it.
And she said yes.
Not yet. Not yet.
Well, keep us.
I'm hoping tonight.
But you're getting there.
We are legally married, and I'm hoping tonight to say yes.
Yeah. So, 20th anniversary would be a sweet time to do it.
It seems symbolic somehow, so yeah. I hope it'll work.
But John, this has just been a delight, man.
Bill,
thank you for taking the time.
You are a true inspiration. No, I'm sorry I accused you of bullying me at the brunch table.
No, I was
just making a joke.
No, I wanted you to be happy. I thought that you were reluctant to bring the cast iron thing home. The woman to whom you've been married at that time, 19 and a half years, would have been skeptical of this choice.
No, she would be. It would be right in character. She would understand why it had happened.
And I think you would get joy out of it. So I encourage you, next time you accidentally stumble upon a Griswold cast iron waffle gizmo, you embrace it.
But see, I have made a science of finding meaning and joy and being tuned into what makes you happy. Because that's the thing people don't. People don't know what makes them happy.
And this is, we talk all the time about mindfulness.
Being mindful of your happiness. And what I would have said to Amy, and will say to her on November 3rd, the Chicago Humanities Festival, johnhodgman.com/tour.
When she comes to get her copy of your new book.
Medallion Status by me, John Hodgman.
And thanks you for your advice.
Get it autographed.
You know, is that if you can tune into what makes you actually happy, like you want to have an impact on the world, right? That seems like a selfless act. But it has to start from a selfish place, which is what makes me happy? Because if you can figure that out, if you know when you're happy and when you're not happy, and you choose a path of happiness for you, you're going to have a much stronger impact on the world if you're coming from that place.
God, that really is just a fantastic
Which is all
insight.
Just how to say, I swear on this? I knew I didn't fucking want that waffle maker.
Okay.
I know what I like and what I don't like,
okay,
Bill
good.
Nye.
Okay,
I knew.
Right.
Don't worry. If something makes me happy, I take it.
Anyway, thank you so much, John. It's
John,
just been a delight.
Great having you here.
John Hodgman has joined us today on Science Rules. His new book, as you may know, is Medallion Status. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere and the electric internet. So thank you, John. I'm Bill Nye.
I am Corey S. Powell.
And remember, when it comes to the expertise part of our universe,
Science Rules.
If you like Science Rules, and I hope you do, please take a moment to rate and review it in Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher. It helps us out and helps other people learn about the show, leaving the world a better place. So thank you. Be sure to follow me on the Electric Internet for information about when to call into the show. I'm at Bill Nye on everything, on the Electric Twitter machine and the Instagram and so on. Meanwhile, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, give us a call at 201-472-0785. That's 201-472-0785. Science Rules is produced by Jordan Bell and our own Corey S. Powell, with extra production from Lisa Wang, the very same Lisa Wang, and Ashley Warren, who screened your calls today. Our engineer today is Jared O'Connell. Mixing and original theme music by Casey Halford. Special thanks to Claire Rawlinson. Chris Bannon is the Chief Content Officer, the CCO of Stitcher. And at Stitcher, you know, science rules.
Stitcher.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Way Day starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your cart.
Wayfair, every style, every home.